You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. We're locally underwritten by the Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kateman, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Amanda and Mark Dalnodar, the owners of Brew City Marketing. So Amanda and Mark, how are you guys doing today?
Excellent.
Thank you, excellent. James. Good day. So it's a good day for marketing, right?
Great day.
Every day is a good day for marketing.
I was just chatting with a guy, I don't know if that was two or three episodes ago, but he essentially said every business is a marketing business. They're just essentially selling whatever it is that they offer. And very of true. Course, he went in to say most of them aren't good at it, which is totally true. So I guess that's where professionals like you come in.
Yeah.
So let's start out when you first started out. How did you guys end up owning a marketing business?
Well, we both came from a marketing company, I suppose we can say. Still Yellow Page ads for...
At AT&T.
Yeah, AT&T. Way back.
Oh, wow.
Way back. Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah, that's where we met too. So we met there and we were all selling Yellow Page ads. That was my first job out of college. Was it your first job?
No. Okay. No.
And the Yellow, we joined on when they realized that it was the Titanic. And so they were transitioning and pivoting and started to launch an internet service alongside the Yellow Pages. And for me, that made a lot of sense. The phone book didn't make a ton of sense, but I really got behind the internet product. And I became one of the top reps in the Midwest for selling websites to my clients through the agency.
Nice.
The company wasn't doing a great job on executing.
Oh. Oops. That's not so good.
You know, it's sort of understandable. I mean, they're a Fortune 50 company. There's a lot of moving parts. And
right.
Internet is fast moving. You got to react to market trends really quick. They couldn't do it. So we saw the opportunity. We also saw, and we felt we could do it better. So we decided to launch our own company.
Let me just clarify this. So you're like, hey, Amanda, or Amanda went to Mark and said, hey, Mark, let's get married and start a company. Is that essentially what?
Well, on our honeymoon, we were in St. Croix, U.S. Virgin Islands, and it was the night before we were going to fly home to go back to our corporate jobs and our regular life. And I just remember saying to Mark that I didn't want to go back and I wanted to start my own company. What could we do together to start our own business? And then Mark said websites. And then a light bulb went off in my head, because in college I helped project manage a website redesign for a nonprofit that I was working for.
Nice.
And I don't know, like, we've talked about starting a business before and we would just like brainstorm what we wanted to do, but like nothing felt right. Like everything that we, all the ideas, it just didn't feel right. But when you said website, like, boom, that's it.
That's all one
I know how to do that.
No. We didn't really know how to do it, but we figured it out.
Yeah. Sure, right? You are not the first company owners to come on here and say that. That's cool. So just put a timeline on this for the listeners. Are we talking 12 years ago or more?
Yeah, we got married in 08. So,
okay. We got
married in November of 08.
Yes.
That happened more often than
details.
Oh my God, it's so bad. And then we started Brew City Marketing in
February of 09.
Yeah. All right. Yes. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys, did you tell your job, hey, funny story, we're not really interested in hanging out with you guys anymore? Or how did that transition go?
Well, she had moved on from AT&T and I was still there and she was working for another company. And that was more or less the crutch of it. You know, she was really driven and she wanted to do this. I was more holding on to the fact that, you know, I had a career, I had a pension, we had healthcare. I said, I'm going to stick this thing out. You start the company. Mm. Let's see how things shake out. I'll join you in a few months. So she took it on. She was one woman solo artist for a few months.
Nice.
Her brother joined, came on as a sales guy. And
probably like 5 months.
Into it, like maybe August.
Yeah.
And then October, I quit my job and came on board.
All right.
It all happened in that first year.
So, Mark, I want to back up a step. Did you say that you had a pension?
I did. Mm-hmm. I did have a pension. Yeah.
I didn't even know they still had those even 12 years ago. So that's,
you know what? You know, it was actually rare back in 04 too. And these things were just crumbling around. But yeah, AT&T had a really good pension.
Wow. Really good. But you had to stick really it out for 30 years or 40 years or something?
Five. Vested in five. And five. I was there for 5 years and like a month.
And all I right. left. All right. Yeah, so did you get to keep that little pension?
Oh yeah, that was a nice.
Well, that's all. That's a good thing. That's awesome thing. That's cool. So I think this is the first time I've ever heard that word on this show, and we're at episode 150 something. That is cool. That is cool. Wow. So Amanda, were you in the pension world? Or you didn't?
No, I didn't work at AT&T long enough for that.
Okay, gotcha.
No. After I left AT&T, I went to Aramark, and I was a sales executive there for their uniform division.
Gotcha. Okay. Very cool.
I wasn't there long enough either for a pension or anything like that.
Man, what is it with these companies offering pensions? Holy cow. That's funny. So I want to talk about how you got started with the whole website thing. What were you guys coding in back when you started? Because WordPress, I didn't even know if WordPress was a thing 12 years ago.
They were just regular little HTML websites.
HTML using Dreamweaver and stuff like that, or?
Yeah, yeah. Whatever the web developer wanted to, whatever they were using. But what separated us from other web designers even back then was our knowledge of meta tags and getting people's websites found on Google. And
gotcha.
Doing the back end work to facilitate finding their Google listing.
All right. All right.
Yeah, I should specify, Mandy and I are not web developers. We never really have been at Bruce City anyway. She did that project in college, but right away when we started our company, we knew we needed a web developer. So we found a guy on Craigslist.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Our first web developer was a Mormon from Utah.
All right.
And he coded his sites in HTML and Dreamweaver. And so we said, all right, I guess we build websites in HTML in Dreamweaver. That's who we are.
Funny. So was he living in Utah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was all remote. Never met him. It was our first web developer. We had him on 4 or 5 years. He was doing websites for us.
Nice. You're a decade ahead of your time here.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, everything's virtual now.
That's cool. That's very cool. Did he work out for you guys?
He was a great guy. He was turning around projects quick, and he had really good artistic abilities. And we, like I said, we kept him on for a few years. He decided he wanted to do something else. So maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we parted ways with him amicably. He was a really nice guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So did you guys, I imagine you added more developers over the course of time, right?
Oh my goodness. Yes. Yeah. We've worked with a lot of people over the years.
Okay.
Yep.
Employees or subcontractors or combination?
We had almost all contractors up until like 3 years ago.
Okay.
When it came into my world or whatever, that we had to, why did we switch everybody to be W-2s? Because of insurance liability.
Yeah.
It had to do with something along those lines. Like,
our accountant made the recommendation, you guys should take these contractors and move them to part-time. Okay. So that's what we did.
Yeah. All right. Listen to your accountant. I like it.
Yeah. That's good advice for your listeners.
Yeah. If you're giving them enough work, you kind of, it's justified because I guess one, there's the whole, you could get audited thing, which that would be a bad day.
Yep. Yeah.
On the flip side, there's also somewhat of a loyalty, I imagine, that you want to keep.
Very much so.
Yeah, we've got 4 or 5 developers that work with us right now, and there's a couple that I mean, we could convert to full time. They're billing full time hours with us. We've just got them. They're classified as part time. And
all right, gotcha.
But yeah, we're feeding a lot of work to these individuals. Mm-hmm. One of them is Mandy's friend from high school.
Oh, funny.
Still out of state. She used to be in Vancouver. She's since moved to Seattle, and she's our lead developer on a number of projects still today.
Very cool.
Yep.
Very cool. So were you guys, when you initially started the business, you get the developer and developers as you grow, were you essentially the sales force and the management side, or what were the roles that you guys were taking care of?
Operations.
Her brother came on board to do sales, and that was his background. And when I left AT&T, it's exactly what I did. In those early years was a lot of cold calling. We were making 50 calls a day apiece between Danny and myself for years, every day, picking up the phone. And, you know, that's not an easy thing to do. I think you have to have a certain temperament for that.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you take a lot of no's, but that's how we drove our business in those first couple of years, you know, making phone calls, taking a lot of no's, but getting some appointments, generating some interest. You know, we had a lower price point because we didn't have a lot of overhead, and we were just driven to, you know, bring in clients.
Right. Interesting. That sounds like fun. Was there ever any fear of success or fear of failure when you got started?
For me, yes. For her, no. She's a driven woman, and she always had this vision that I'm going to push this wall forward, and eventually it's going to move on its own. And I think there were probably times in the early years where I might have called it quits.
Okay.
And we had those, you know, difficult conversations, but she was going to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it has. So that's cool.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So at what point did you cross the threshold where you're like, all right, this is going relatively smooth. We don't have to look back anymore. Let's just look forward.
That's a good question.
I think it was driven primarily on revenue. And for me, I think it was probably 3 to 4 years in where I felt like, okay, we got something here.
All right.
We started building our revenue stream, our reoccurring revenue streams, and, you know, bringing clients on for digital services that rebill monthly. And once that got above maybe 10,000 a month, I started to feel pretty good. Like, okay, we've got something that's working here.
All right. And digital services more like SEO services or SEO, email hosting or?
Yeah, hosting, SEO, digital, paid ads.
Facebook ads.
Yeah, social media marketing, things like
that. Gotcha. Okay. Interesting. So how have you seen the industry evolve over the past 12 years?
There's a lot more competition. I'll tell you that.
For you guys or for?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, when we started, there was just a handful of web developers and digital agencies in the marketplace that service the type of clients that we service, which is small businesses looking to service a local base. So there's more competition. There's also a lot more people going online looking for businesses, products, and services. So, the opportunity for a company to start spending money on digital is way increased from where it was when we first started.
Mm-hmm.
The phone book still had distribution back in 2009. you can't get a phone book today.
We get them every once in a while, and I just wonder who is in here. It's tiny.
It's
really small.
But there's still somebody is paying for that, and it blows my mind.
Yeah. I will tell you, too, the clients have gotten more savvy. You know, back in the day, go in front of them and say, you need a website, and they'd say, okay, whatever. And we'd build all the content. We'd put all the images in there. They literally wouldn't ask a question.
They didn't
even look at it. We'd just launch it for them.
Wow. All right.
At all. But you know, they've been educated to understand that you've got to market online. And so now when you meet with a prospect, they want to know, well, what's the content going to look like? How are you going to market this site? You know, they're asking a lot more intelligent questions. So, you know, we're forced to be better project managers, be good account managers, make sure that we're conveying what their ROI is and good points, good customer service.
Sure. Interesting.
The other thing that changed a lot, though, is that we used to just focus on optimizing their website for Google and having people be found organically in the search results. But now it's like
Facebook,
get the paid ads on Google,
display banner ads, a bunch of things, landing pages.
It's just, yeah,
more
it's
complex.
There's just more areas to advertise your business now online than there was back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. 12 years ago, it's interesting because that social media was a different beast.
Right. Yes, it was.
It was MySpace.
Right. Yeah. Even the YouTube ads and stuff like that. And I feel like the SEO was a little bit different game. Well, a bit different game 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's just things have evolved, good or bad, and somewhat of a moving target. Back then, I guess I would argue that you could look at a given business and you could say, hey, if you spend this dollar amount, we can almost guarantee you success. Because we've seen it before, right? Like if you're an electrician, we've seen local electricians spend this amount of money in these places and be successful. So you can just kind of match that recipe. And there's so many places to spend now. And I would argue that it's gotten overly complex to spend online. But I don't know if you can do that. Maybe you can. I don't know. You can tell me in that regard how you guys feel about that.
Well, we're in the process of figuring out, or just declaring what are our favorite venues or just places where we will advertise your business and we know what kind of return you're going to get. And then not even saying we know how to advertise your business on Amazon or these other places, because it is, each platform is its own ecosystem. And it is overly complex to say you're an expert at every different platform.
Right.
We're just not big enough for that.
That's fair. That's totally fair. Maybe it was a couple of years ago, I was trying to market a company and I didn't want to go on Facebook. I wanted to be on YouTube, and finding someone locally here that could help me with YouTube, they kept saying, just advertise on Facebook. I'm like, nah. I don't want to. I want to advertise on YouTube because this is more of a video thing.
Yeah.
And because they didn't know YouTube, they were just trying to steer me into what they knew, which, I get it. But I'm like, it's not where I want to spend my money. I ended up not doing anything because I dabbled in it. And I'm like, I don't want to learn a whole new program. But then I was thinking, shouldn't this be easy for any business owner to just be like, these are the kind of people I want to reach. This is what I want to spend. Here's my ad.
I think it is trending that way. And that is eventually what is going to happen, but it's just not there yet.
It is not. No. When I did marketing on Amazon for my books, so that was published two and a half years ago. Initially they wouldn't give you any data that was beyond that day. So you couldn't look back 90 days or a year or 5 years or anything like that. They just give you a snapshot. So every day I'd have to go in there and take a screenshot. And then there are people hustling software where it essentially takes that data, and every day it would grab it and put it in an Excel spreadsheet.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, wait, they have this data. They're just not sharing it. It seems kind of shady. So they've changed that since then, but it's still not as simple as I feel that it should be.
Right.
I guess maybe I'm just biased because I'm a business owner that you got stuff going on. You just want to bring me business if I give you money.
There are a lot of companies out there and platforms that are attempting to service folks like yourself who would rather do it internally and, figure it out without having to hire a digital agency for whatever the reason might be. And then, that would be another difference from 2009 to today is you've got a lot of website builder platforms that you can go to. You can build your own site on Squarespace or Wix or even Google platform. But I think there's always going to be a need for an agency such as ours, because business owners get busy and they've got, you know, only a certain amount of time, and their talents are executing on their deliverables. So
yeah,
have an agent to do those things for them.
I would imagine that there's a price point that a given a small business would spend where you guys have to charge whatever to just monitor and deal with that account to take care of it. And whether the ad spend, let's just say if the ad spend is $5 a month, you still got time involved in there. So your labor essentially versus the ad spend is not, doesn't make sense. But there's going to come a point when the small business grows and they're interested in spending this much more. Well, now it makes sense to get a professional. Because for $5, right? If I mess up $5 ad spend, whatever, right? But if I mess up a $10,000 ad spend, well, now we got a problem.
For sure.
So I think it's a, there must be a threshold, I imagine, where there's it just makes sense to get.
But it's not just dollars and cents. It's, you know, return, right? It's not what you're putting out so much as what you're getting back.
Yeah,
I would say for a prospect or a client that says, well, I've only got $20 per month, keep that $20.
Yeah, right.
Spend $0. But if you have $500 and you want to get $1,000 back, now we can start talking about what advertising can do for you.
Right.
And that's the conversation that we try to have with our clients is, it's about strategy and it's about return. You know, if you can stomach the initial output of investment, then you can get a greater return than what you're getting if you're just nickel and diming on the front end.
Yeah. You have to, that's perfect. I love that. Keeping the idea of marketing as an investment, expecting
really
a return.
For sure. And any digital agency that's, you know, figured out their, you know, value proposition and how they execute on their deliverable should be able to offer some return for you.
What have been some of the success stories that you guys have had over the past decade plus?
Oh, we've had some really good ones. I mean, you know, we pride ourselves in the fact that we've got more testimonials, more positive testimonials online, reviews rather, on our Google My Business than most of the agencies in the state.
Wow.
And everyone is a good story. You know, we push our clients to go online, tell that story. Because we'll have clients that'll email us, oh, I got this going. And one that sticks out though is we took a one-man guy. He had one truck. It was one guy. And we signed him on, I think you know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. We signed this guy on pretty early on when we launched our company. Today, he's got a fleet of 10 plus trucks. He's got 50 plus employees and he's generating 60 plus legitimate contact form submissions on his website every single month.
Wow.
So, contractor in Milwaukee. And he's spent primarily just digital. So we've built a website for him. We've built his entire online presence.
We do SEO,
we do Google, we do some Facebook advertising. We also manage his organic social media. And he's an awesome success story. I love bringing him up in meetings. We've got a case study we've written about him. I love showing that to prospects that we're meeting with because he's a guy that, like I said, he is from the very early on, he knew that he wanted to grow his business. You know, sometimes we run across prospects that, you know, I don't want 50 employees. I want me and a couple of these guys, and that's all I ever want. Okay, great. We can still service those guys. But this guy wanted to grow his business.
All right.
And we were able to go along for the ride, and it was really cool to see.
You know, it's interesting you say that because when I'm out prospecting for calls on call, we run into a lot of people that are just happy being the one guy in a van. And to me, I'm like, that seems like a torturous life. Why would you want that? Like it's grow or die, but there's some people they're happy and they're content. So,
well,
I guess more power to them, right?
Yeah, we can understand that actually, because you know, when you decide you're going to grow your business, there's growing pains, and
certainly
it's personnel, it's finding the right talent, managing people, customer service, figuring out, you know, we know that we're the best at what we do, and now we got to bring in people that are just as passionate about it. And that's a challenge.
No, employees' biggest challenge in the world.
It really
by
is.
a factor that I can't even, there's not a number that I've ever even seen that could define the multiplier of the pain that employees are. And it's interesting, when I started my business, I had no idea that employees were a pain. But it sounds like you guys ran into that same situation.
Yeah, I didn't, I wouldn't have surmised that that was going to be the case. I would have thought it would have been something else is going to be more difficult, but it ended up being that.
But I will say on a positive note that it is what drives me to continue growing our business, because I get a lot of satisfaction out of watching other people grow and find their professional gifts. I think that is definitely one of the best things I like about my job.
Oh, I would agree 1,000 times over. Definitely. There's, yeah, there's pleasure, I suppose, just like parents with kids or something like that, where you can watch them grow, right? And improve. Yes. And, you know, catch a ball, throw a ball, do whatever, learn how to spell, all that jazz. Hopefully employees are beyond that, but you know what I mean? Like to watch them grow. But it's totally cool. But likewise, we like our, I like to watch customers do that same thing. So there is, yeah, in the end, they're a huge pain. Employees are a huge pain, but they're worth it.
So, they're worth it. You need every, if you're going to grow, you need to rely on other people to do, to deliver the service.
Totally. Completely. Yes.
Can't grow on your own.
And it is really neat knowing that we're helping, you know, somebody to put food on the table. That's a really cool feeling.
Yeah. And just working as a team, like you know, having that support.
Yeah. It's more fun.
It's really cool. It is more fun.
It is much more fun. Yeah. And I like
it. Definitely outweigh.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
I said the positives definitely outweigh. And I don't even want to say negatives, but the positives are.
Oh, there's some negatives. There's some negatives. Yeah. Cause in the end, employees are people and people have baggage. Some people have tiny little carry-on bags, and other people, you're just like, where did that truck come from? A lot of baggage.
Yeah.
So yeah, the trick is, I guess, just finding the people that can handle their baggage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not always the easiest thing in the world, because they don't share that on the interview normally. That I have 747s full of baggage.
Yeah, right, right. Fleet's coming in.
Yeah, right. So let's move on here. How do you guys find the best to market your own business?
Well, we are ranked in Google Local for web design. And we have been for a long, long time.
All right. And,
like 100% of our leads from online.
Right? Wow. No, 100%. We drive, so we get a lot of repeat business from clients that we built sites for back in the day. They're coming back around. Oh, we need to freshen up our site. And we get referrals too. But we do drive a lot of leads from our organic ranking. We spend a little bit of money on digital for ourselves. And of course we're doing a ton of, we have a big effort around our organic social posts, but by and large, it's from Google. People are typing in web design Milwaukee, digital firm Milwaukee, and they're finding us. We rank very, very well for our keywords.
Very cool. And I imagine that wasn't accidental.
No, we put a lot of work into that. Those early years, we had to pick up the phone and call people because they weren't finding us.
Nice.
But that was a big turning point. I mean, we started driving leads. Like, hey, we got a phone call. Someone found us online.
What is that ringing noise?
And literally, you know, 3-4 times a week, people are emailing us or calling us. They found us online. And I love sharing that story to our prospects, because obviously that's what we do for them.
Right.
We're a walking testament to the value of being found for your search terms on Google.
Mm-hmm. The majority of your clients, are they hovered around Milwaukee because that's where you rank? Or are they national? Yes. I guess, where do you find your clients mostly?
Mostly local. We have found some people that have, we had a company down in Florida call us a couple of years ago and found us online, wanted to do business with us. We never met the guy. We did some work with him, you know, just exchanging emails and phone calls. Had another guy in Nevada. I think there was somebody in Minneapolis. It's a small percentage of people that have found us out of state. Most of them are south Wisconsin.
All right. So does that mean that you were not hitting the phone 50 times a day now?
I'm not hitting the phone anymore. Right. I haven't made a phone call in 6 years.
Wow. It's going to be a good feeling, I imagine.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's a great feeling.
Have you seen any trending downward or upward in the past year?
Yes. Yeah, COVID hit us. Okay. We lost some clients that, you know, they needed to close their doors. Mm-hmm. And we had some clients that picked up their advertising because, you know, when their business is down, they see the value in spending more in advertising. So, and we did bring on some new clients, but you know, if you look at the trend over 12 years, for sure, 2020 was a down year for us.
All right.
In terms of bringing on new accounts, our ability to upsell existing accounts. It was a down year. Yeah, revenue. It was the first year in 12 years that we stagnated on revenue growth.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You're not alone there. So that's probably a decent year to have that happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's it's sure like, is. Oh, 2020 was rough. Like,
yeah, who wasn't?
Yeah, right. Unless you're pizza delivery, you're probably having a somewhat of a bad day.
But I felt grateful that we just stagnated and because so many other people were impacted much more. So.
Oh, incredibly so. Yeah. I was talking with another person, I think last week, where it's like, we're doing all right. Mm-hmm. Almost to the point where I feel guilty because you look around State Street in Madison here.
Yeah.
Restaurants just in general. In fact, we just went to a restaurant. I want to say it was last week, Thursday. And we haven't been to a restaurant in forever. And it was my wife and my anniversary. And she's like, do you think we need to make a reservation? We both kind of like, no, it's sad. But like, no. And it was us and maybe one other couple there. I'm like, there's no way that we are paying for this place to stay open right now. No way.
Yeah.
So, which is, it's tragic because I don't know what's going to happen in a few months when we'll want to eat at restaurants and you hope that they're still around.
Right. Yeah.
So, and that's just one industry.
Yep.
So a big one, but yeah.
So yeah, we had clients that were, they had a gym and closed their doors. Furniture retail, they had to close their doors. You had a few businesses that not permanently, they're not out of business, but they had to literally close their doors. Nobody could go in their place of establishment for months.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I was just chatting with a guy that owns a trampoline park. Okay. Like, those things were germ factories before COVID. What do they do now?
Yeah. Interesting.
But yeah, he'll be fine. Let's survive a year and then I'll be good.
Yeah.
So that's a year's a long time. So hopefully he survives. But yeah, it's interesting.
But I will tell you though, this year we have seen an uptick.
Nice.
Yeah, I know that there's still, you know, concerns around COVID and, you know, everything that's still happening with that. But our business did stagnate in 2020. Mm-hmm. And this year, it's picked up just in the 2 months. We've got an increase in leads. We've got an increase in our appointments, sales.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, I can tell you from the volume of phone calls that we have just overall with our clients. December and January people were hibernating. It was, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of our industries that we take care of that's expected. Pavement or landscaping, there's not a whole lot of landscaping going on when it's 20 below.
Not here in Wisconsin.
Yeah. No, but the past week and a half, I don't know, as soon as the sun came out and you could start to see just little hints of grass, phones just lit up.
Really?
Yeah, I would say we're probably even, what are we looking at? I don't know, a week or two early than typical. Mm. So I think people are excited to get, just do stuff, spend money, however they do it.
I think so too. Weather, you wouldn't think that weather is a big impact for a company like ours, but I think every business in the state of Wisconsin sees an uptick in business when the sun is out.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Services or your product.
In spring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My rule is that when the sun is out, wallets are out. Because I would say, like, we would see it with, there's a massage therapy client we answer phones for, something that should have nothing to do with weather.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But yeah, sun comes out and all of a sudden people are like, I want to lay in a dark room.
Yeah, it's a mood elevator, maybe. It's a mood, it's driven.
Maybe the Christmas credit card is paid off or something like that. Who knows? Yeah, maybe, who knows? Whatever it is. Yeah, it's interesting how many industries that covers that should be not related at all to weather.
Sure.
It's interesting. So let's talk about what you guys have learned over the past decade plus, because that's a long time to be in business. Mm-hmm. So what have you learned? Let's just say first year or two when you guys were first starting and kind of clawing your way up to success. What are some things that you discovered that you didn't necessarily know? Or what were some of the challenges that you ran into?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you that when we actually did come up with the idea for this company, mm-hmm. Mandy was going to be our web developer.
Oh, and nice. Okay.
Yeah, because she built that website. And pretty quickly we thought, let's actually hire somebody to do that. So that was a lesson, I think, or a learning curve for us. We decided pretty quick, we're going to delegate. So that happened. We also learned, I think, along the way, this happened early on, but we had a client way back in the day that was just a real hassle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'd never returned money before and we didn't want to do that because we weren't bringing in a lot of business and it wasn't a lot of money, but we were bending over backwards for this woman who we were never going to please. Mm-hmm. And we finally said, why don't we just give her money back? She can go away. So we learned that it's okay if it's not a fit.
Sure.
Fortunately, we've gotten to a point now where we can figure that out in the prospect meeting where we won't even bring the client on. But being in a situation or a position where we can say, we kind of know who we want to work with. We can ask the right fact-finding questions to figure out who those people are. And we won't present proposals to the, you know, the folks that we just don't think we're going to be a good fit mm-hmm. for. You figure that out as you go. And I guess I would also say, you know, just how we execute on our services. Mm-hmm. You know, we've made some mistakes along the way. At one point in time, we decided we were going to outsource some of our work to the wrong people.
All right.
And they did some things that were not good for our clients. And that was a big learning lesson for us, you know, making sure that if we do partner with other individuals to help execute on some of the things that we're doing, that we do our due diligence, that we're always monitoring what's being done. Just being smarter on how we operate.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about hiring. Let's go back to the employees thing. Did you learn anything about hiring, even finding subcontractors?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've learned that I am not good at that.
Okay.
Mandy is really good. Way better than me.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is that, though?
I think you have a natural ability to... I think you would do a better job at asking tough questions, to be honest with you.
Interesting. I've always done well with the personnel side mm-hmm. and managing the team. And Mark is really, his gifts are in sales and working with the clients. And that's how we've operated and worked together for the past 12 years, is I kind of take care of the employees and he takes care of the clients. Oh.
Gotcha. I would argue, Amanda, that you have a tougher job then.
Well, thank you.
I would argue, James, that you should sit down on a call with me.
No. I mean, I am very thankful he does the client side.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Clients, for the most part, are cool, but every once in a while, you're like, right? Yeah. We've had some where we're just like, take your money. And take a walk.
Right.
I don't know who's going to deal with you, but somebody hopefully maybe will.
Somebody else.
It's someone
lucky. But that's rare. Where employees having a challenge, Man, I used to joke about the number of Kleenex boxes that we'd have in our conference room, because I would make employees cry with no intention of making them cry, but just asking them questions, which I thought were just logical questions, and then they just crack. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I've ever had a client cry. So.
Well, I think that goes back to what you're saying, like asking tough questions and being in a leadership position, but still motivating your team. It is a fine line. It is a balance that luckily, I don't know. It comes naturally to me, but you do the same thing where you ask tough questions and then people crack.
You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's hard to say. Honestly, if I had to say, I think it would, I would say that you are a natural extrovert and I am not. I can be a very good extrovert, but it's an effort for me. Mm-hmm. We'll go to a party and we'll come home at the end of the night and she'll just be lifted up from all the interaction that she's had.
Oh, yeah.
Where me, I am at the party, I appear to be the bigger extrovert, but when I get home, I am mentally drained.
Oh.
Of being an extrovert.
Interesting.
So how does that translate with managing?
Because it takes a lot of energy to have that personal engagement and develop that relationship. And I just think that you do that naturally better than I do. If I had to guess, and that's just a guess.
That's a theory.
Interesting. That's fair.
Like all of my opinions, they're just theories.
That's all right. That's interesting. Cause my wife and I are the same way. I love the party, meeting people and jazzing, talking about stuff and whatever. Yeah. I just feel, you feel alive. Mm-hmm. And she's talking to that one person that she knows, and she's cool with that, just safely in her corner. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that seems like the most boring party in the world. So, but I guess that's why I enjoyed networking events.
Yeah.
And why, this COVID thing has been a challenge.
Yeah.
Because the in-person stuff goes away. So stuff that you thrive on, you're like, oh, what's plan B here?
Gives you energy.
Yeah.
Right. Interesting. I want to touch briefly on the new business that you guys have ventured into, the MedSpa MKE. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It is a med spa located in Wauwatosa.
All right.
Our medical director is Dr. Byam, and we do Botox, dermal fillers, facial rejuvenation, sexual rejuvenation, vitamin boosters, just a lot of really fun things to help people on their journey with feeling and looking better.
Nice. Now that's a pretty far stretch from marketing. So how did you guys get into that business as well as, I guess, in relation to this business?
Well, we knew Dr. Byam from Bruce City Marketing. We had built his website.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
He was a client at Bruce City. Yeah.
So and, it wasn't just some ad that you saw like, hey, let's get this. No.
He approached us, actually.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Well, that's super cool. There's a lot of trust there.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And how long ago was this?
1 year ago.
Yeah.
1 year, was it really?
Yeah, there was going to be an open house in March of 2020 to relaunch the brand. And then, of course, COVID. Not a good time to start a med spa.
It's a closed open house.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Mm-hmm. So I imagine you guys have learned some things in marketing that as well then, right? Or were you doing it mostly before, so it was pretty easy?
Both. We do all the marketing obviously for it, but it was really cool to like step into a B2C company and like live in it, because obviously we've been working with a lot of hundreds of B2C clients over the years, but I've never actually ran a business where I was in it, living in it every day.
Yeah.
So I think it gives me a really nice well-rounded perspective that I bring back to Brew City Marketing and the clients that we have here.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah, because I imagine before you were B2B, and now all of a sudden you're B2C. And it's B2C, mm-hmm. I imagine, do you take walk-ins or is it all scheduled?
All scheduled.
All scheduled, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. But still, it's a little bit different clientele than a website or marketing. I mean, it's just a different sales process.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. The sales mm-hmm. process is different, and the volume of clientele needed to sustain a business like is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. Huh. So it must, I imagine after a year, you've had some war stories.
Yes. Yes. But luckily the years of working, you know, having Brew City Marketing and being a business person has, you know, hasn't fazed me.
All right. All right. So what's your favorite part about owning the MedSpa MKE?
What would be my favorite part?
I don't know.
I think, I don't, maybe just the problems that I see at MedSpa MKE, like I can solve them within a day or two.
Mm.
With Brew City Marketing, the operations is just more complicated in that the issues or the problems that we're solving with being in business for 12 years and with the revenue that we have and the amount of employees that we have, the problems that I work on may take a year to solve.
Oh.
Bigger projects.
All right.
You know, there's like MedSpa MKE, it's just quicker things coming at me.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And I enjoy starting that energy that comes with a startup.
All right. Nice. I always joke that a new business is like a new girlfriend kind of thing, even though, but your wife doesn't get upset. I mean, I take that back. Not as upset.
That's so funny that you said that, because I actually made that same analogy to some people the other day, and I felt weird saying it, but it's true.
Nah, it's totally true. it's the honeymoon phase of a new business. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty much so.
Everything's so fresh, so new, so exciting.
Oh, yeah. 10 years in, you're like, oh, you again.
Here we go again.
Right. Yeah, no surprises. So Amanda, what's your favorite part about the Brew City Marketing?
My favorite part about Brew City Marketing is, that would be my favorite. I want to say it's the people.
All right.
I mean, I think I touched on that before, but really building the team.
Mm-hmm.
That we've had throughout the years and who we have today, and just providing that space for people to grow and learn and change, and that for sure is my favorite part. Just having that support, leading a team.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. How about you, Mark? What's your favorite part about running Brew City Marketing?
Yeah, I would say the same for sure. The people, I mean, the energy that we've created and the camaraderie and the community and the culture is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the challenge. I like the idea of thinking about where we could take this agency. We're in a really cool industry and there's a lot of opportunity for us to grow, and figuring out the right ways to do it and the systems and the, you know, everything that's kind of goes into how you grow a business, all the challenges. I mean, I love it. It's difficult, but I love it. It gives me a lot of energy coming in every day and thinking about what can I do today to make it run just a little bit better? What kind of decisions can I make? What kind of conversations can I have to just tune this up a little bit better? And every day kind of seeing it, you know, seeing all that stuff come to fruition and our business growing. It's really cool.
Nice. I love it. So it's time for advice time. If you were to see someone or meet someone that was considering starting their own business, what is some advice that the two of you would give to them about things to look out for, or things to just any advice of any kind? Open door.
I'd say don't be scared to build a team or find help sooner. I think All right. for a long time we were doing things on our own for probably longer than, you know, we should have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, once we made the leap to hire our first employee, things, our revenue, what did it do? It
almost doubled. It
doubled.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of, yeah.
Find somebody to delegate. Yeah. No, I agree for sure. I think people have this idea in their head when they're running a business. Well, once we get to this much revenue, then we'll bring on an employee. But I think what the right approach is you put somebody in place so that you can get to this much revenue.
Yeah.
And that was a lesson that I think we needed to kind of learn organically, but
it's our first business.
Yeah, for sure.
That's funny that you say that. I wrote a blog, I want to say November, something like that, about people setting arbitrary milestones that have nothing to do with what they're trying to accomplish. They'll be like, oh, I'll look into marketing after Christmas. Like, what does that have to do with any marketing that you're going to be doing?
Gotta get over the whole Christmas thing first.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, I got to reach this revenue threshold. Like, how are you going to get there?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Just maybe trusting in the universe a little bit more to just take care of it.
Mm-hmm. So, get it done. Cool.
I love
it. I would say, you know, there's all sorts of business owners and coaches and mentors online today with social media that you can access that give out really good information. We just bought a book from somebody who's run a digital agency who is, you know, got kind of like a roadmap for what the next steps might look like for an agency similar to ours. And her and I are both reading this book and pulling a lot of really useful nuggets out of it. So, you know, do your research and see if you can find somebody in your industry that's done it, that's willing to give out some free advice, whether it's on their Facebook page or a group that they've created or a book that they've written, and digest that information. Glean as much as insight as you can from somebody who's done it before. So you can formulate plans for how you create your own systems and how you build your team. There's a wealth of knowledge out there if you're willing to look for it, seek it out.
Yeah.
Not even in the digital space, whatever business that you're looking to start or grow, tap into that. Have conversations with people that have done it before and you're going to learn something.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Chances are the question has been asked before, which means that chances are the answer exists.
It's out there. It's in the ether.
Yeah, totally. That's a billionth of a second Google search, right?
Exactly.
Whatever they say, it's still funny how they show that time that it took you to get the
millions
of websites.
1.3 million results.
Yeah, took you a long time there, Google. Funny. How can people find you guys?
Well, we'd be remiss if we didn't tell you to go to our website.
Right? What's your website?
BrewCityMarketing.com.
Yep. BrewCityMarketing.com.
BrewCityMarketing.com. And then the MedSpa MKE, where's that at?
MedSpaMKE.com.
Man, you guys nailed it. That's so it's almost too easy.
Right?
Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show. This is a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yeah, us too.
Cool,
yeah,
cool.
Thank you so much. Cool.
This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. We are underwritten locally by the Bank of Sun Prairie. If you're listening to this on the web, please like, subscribe, give a thumbs up, share, comment, do all that stuff that makes the website an awesome place for the most part. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, and speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. What do we got here? Authentic Business Adventures. I almost forgot what I was saying here. Is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for service businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Grow in Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs looking for growth on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, the Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur in all of us, available wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guests, Amanda and Mark Dalnodar, owners of Brew City Marketing, as well as MedSpa MKE. This was good times, guys.
Thank you.
Nice. I enjoyed it. I'm excited to see where you guys go with your marketing business and with MedSpot MKE. I think 10 years is just the beginning, right?
Right. That's right. Check back again 2030.
There's nice. I love it.